You're listening to a special episode of Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture, and I am your host, Isaac Weishaupt. Today, you get to join me on a presentation I had planned. Yes, I did. Back in September of 2021, I was going to do a lecture at the FanX, which is basically Salt Lake City's version of Comic-Con. And I went down the path pretty far. And about a week before the lecture, I had to bail on it. And why did I bail? Well, you probably already know. But for those who don't, I received some very strange threats via social media. Did I think that these were really going to happen? Not really. And I was kind of okay with it. Like I said, there was multiple people, which comes with this territory, right? And nothing crazy enough for me to be like, oh, I'm calling the feds. Because first off, I ain't no snitch. Okay, let's get that out in the open. I can handle my business, okay? But Miss Josie Weishaupt's name got brought into it, and that's when I was like, nope. Pulling the plug on this one. So, my apologies, first off. I had actually done... It's funny, because I did the Comic-Con years and years ago. I had written my first book, and I think it was just my first book only. And I set up a little table. It was a complete failure. I bought about 200 books, sold maybe 20 of them. And we literally talked about throwing them in a fire pit to burn. Because I was like, what am I doing with my life? What an idiot. This is back 2013, 2014. But I kept them. And little did I know, in about 8 years, I would sell all those books. So thank you for buying my books through the signed paperbacks at gumroad.com/IsaacW, where you can get all of them, including A Grand Unified Conspiracy Theory, my first book, which when I read it today, I am a little embarrassed. But hey, you know what? You got to start somewhere. So anyhow, I decided I was going to try my hand at this stupid FanX again. I don't know why. Josie the whole time said, why are you doing this? It didn't work last time. And I'm like, yeah, but this time it's going to work. And I had no reason to believe that. I just was like, you know what? I want to start lecturing. I want to lecture and do book shows. I don't know. I want to do this. So let's try it locally and see how it goes. And well, went up in burning flames of disaster because people out there got nothing better to do, I guess. So turns out, blessing in disguise. This is actually much nicer. I think more of you can hear the whole message. Now, I got to forewarn you, and I'm going to put a presentation on here, and you're going to really like it. I got to forewarn you, the idea here was I needed to make sure the information was digestible for my audience. That's one of the key tenets of Toastmasters. You got to know your audience. Yes, I've taken Toastmasters for a full year. It helped me a lot because public speaking was not my thing. I'm much better now for it. So shout out Toastmasters. You know what Toastmasters, they've got it's kind of like a secret old people hookup thing. So if like you're retired and you're trying to hook up, go to Toastmasters. I'm telling you, these old folks be hooking it up with each other. I've seen it with my own eyes. I couldn't believe it. It's not just people trying to learn how to publicly speak. It's old folks trying to get it in. So shout out my old folks at Toastmasters. Now, why are we talking about old people and getting it in at Toastmasters? We're talking about Toastmasters and yeah, well, oh yeah. So I'm going to present this the way I intended it to, which is for sort of normies, right? That was who the audience was at FanX. It's a lot of comic book nerds and well, that's about it, right? Comic book nerds, and there's a handful of supernatural paranormal nerds in there, which is why I wanted to do it, okay? Let me read you what I submitted my prison, and the people working at the FanX were easily the nicest people I've ever worked with in my whole life. I was like, dude, I'll quit my day job right now if I can work with you people. They had great attitudes. My God. I couldn't believe it. So shout out Salt Lake City FanX people. amazing to work with. I couldn't believe it. It's like Donald Trump. Oh, shit. Okay, so let's read you what I submitted. This will kind of tell you what it's about, okay? Join writer, podcaster, and occult researcher Isaac Weisop as he takes you on a journey into the hidden realms of the occult. Learn about the origins of superheroes and the esoteric symbolism hidden in your favorite entertainment and pop culture. The alien agenda connects into the occult realms of ancient religions and the planned New Age. We'll learn about the foundations of occultism in alchemy and magic, and how Hollywood uses entertainment to steer the wills of the masses in true magical spells. We'll explore the idea that aliens and extraterrestrial entities have been channeled by occultists bent on the destruction of our current order, who sought to bring about a new age of Aquarius. The truth will be revealed as we examine the motivational force behind alien contact, superhero fantasy, and more. Isn't that something? Aren't you interested? Well, I'm going to put it on for you, as promised. A lot of people wanted to hear it, and I was going to actually do this anyway for the people that couldn't make it out there, obviously. So, yeah, what better way to do it in the comfort of my own little studio? So I'm going to present this as if I'm standing in front of a crowd of normies. Take it or leave it. This is what it was. And I had like some slideshows to go with it, which they weren't that interesting. They weren't that engaging because my whole shtick was I want people to watch me, right? You got to watch me present. I don't want you sitting here looking at the images. So like the slides were kind of trivial. And maybe if I'm feeling spry about it, I'll put this on the YouTube. I've got a Okay, here's the thing. Listen, hear me out. I had a YouTube channel, Illuminati Watcher 1, had 75,000 subs. They torched it in 2017 for reasons I still don't know. Then, and they sent me a cease and desist. You can never open another YouTube channel again. But your boy did it anyway, because F him, right? So I opened up another YouTube channel called Isaac Weisop, which I ironically uploaded a ton of the same videos. And they just shadow banned it. So when you search the results, you rarely, I mean, very rarely would see my YouTube channel results. And that's when I was like, oh, forget it. I don't even care. I'm tired of playing this YouTube game. So every now and then I do upload a video to that. Like I interviewed, what was it, Jason Alexander, you know, Britney Spears' first husband. I interviewed him and put that on there. I mean, I upload two videos a year. Like I don't even plug it because it's like, I don't even care. They shadow ban it. They put copyright claims on everything. It's a total nightmare. It's not even worth my time. But I will, if I'm feeling spry, I'll put a video version with the slides over there. So without further ado, let's get into it. Quick question, everybody. Who here hates Tom Hanks? I can gauge by the response of the audience how far down the rabbit hole you all go. And here's the thing about that, right? Side note. I was going to do that because that is a true litmus test to how deep down the conspiracy rabbit hole, because most people hear that and they think, why would you hate Tom Hanks? Right? That's the normie response. So if the crowd was mostly normies, I'd be like, okay, cool. I got to make sure I'm not getting glazed over eyeballs throughout this whole thing. But if half the crowd raises their hands, I'm like, QAnon in the house, right? Which is what I was going to say. QAnon in the house. All right, let's get back into it. All right, here's what we're going to talk about today. First, we're going to talk about who I am and why you should listen to me. Then we're going to talk about the nature of reality and how hidden forces are manipulating it through entertainment. Finally, we'll talk about the new religion that will have us all worshiping demonic aliens. How's that for, and look, I've already bailed on my original strategy. I was just going to present it to you as it is. I'm going to add side notes in here. Isn't that a great hook? Aren't you going to stick around for the end? Because I was worried that people were going to walk out. I was worried I was going to start talking about alchemy and they're going to be like, dude, what are you talking about? So yeah. So anyway, this turned into, I was going to give you the presentation as it was. Now I'm giving you the director's commentary. Sorry, changed it on you midstream, but it'll make more sense if I give you director's commentary. Okay, back into it. First off, who is Isaac Weisop? That is a pseudonym, which should prove to you that I am not that crazy. I started blogging on IlluminatiWatcher.com under this pseudonym back in 2011. Now, why did I choose the pseudonym of Isaac Weishaupt? Well, you see, I was blogging, and the Big Mad Morning Radio Show out of Tulsa, Oklahoma, messaged me and said they wanted me to make an appearance on their radio show, and they asked me what my name was. At the time, I didn't have one. I was like, I'm the Illuminati Watcher, right? So I came up with a name as a play on the I and the W. Isaac Weishaupt, Illuminati Watcher, right? I chose the name Weishaupt because that's the founder of the Bavarian Illuminati, Adam Weishaupt, which I am not of blood relation. 10 years down the road, I'm still getting trolled by people saying that I'm part of the Illuminati and a disinformation agent. So, poor choice. But back on the blogging days of IlluminatiWatcher.com, I would write about random conspiracies and films and such. And this was during a 2-year gap I had between undergrad and graduate school. And little did I know that this thing would take off and become an entire obsession. 10 years later, I've written 9 books, been on some of the biggest conspiracy podcasts, and had contact with some very high-profile people in entertainment. I've done shows with Dave Navarro, who told me we were friends, Chris Jericho, the wrestler, Rude Jude, when I went to SiriusXM to discuss my hip-hop book. I was featured in Complex Magazine with Prodigy from Mobb Deep, Esquire Magazine, Vice, and lots more. I've done big conspiracy shows on Tinfoil Hat with Sam Tripoli, Higher Side Chats, and a ton more. And I also have the distinguishment of being kicked off a Richard Hoagland show. I wrote my first book, A Grand Unified Conspiracy Theory, in 2013. Started doing the radio, podcast interviews in 2013, and had a table right here in Salt Lake City at the FanX in the summer of 2014. I started my own podcast in 2014 called Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture. I've also started a second show called Inside the Mind of a Conspiracy Theorist on the Rockfin Network. And I just started a third show called Breaking Social Norms with my wife, Josie, where we discuss conspiracies and we show what it looks like to have a truther and non-truther living in the same house. Now, for the struggles of talking about the most controversial content in the entire world. Back in 2015, my blog was taking off. I was every month increasing my web traffic. I was hitting 500,000 page views a month. That's 500,000 page views every month, and increasing at a linear fashion until Google shadow banned me from their front pages in 2015. The traffic went down linearly at the same rate, and now I'm hitting about 20,000 page views a month because of the first page shadow ban from Google. I pivoted to focusing on YouTube videos, then that was banned in 2016 after reaching 73,000 subscribers. I bought hosting for my videos at Vimeo, and then they banned me in 2020. I was sued in 2021 for an image I used on my website. Who would have thought you couldn't use images found on the internet for your blog? But it forced me to take down all of my articles that I had written since 2011. Why all the banning in a country that prides itself on free speech? One could think that I'm just some gross conspiracy theorist, but the truth is that if you followed my content, you'll know that I'm the rational guy. I'm the guy who tries to be kind and loving and speak nothing but fact-check truths. The truth of the matter is that my information is dangerous because I'm not a crazed tinfoil hat guy that does seem irrational. First, let's talk about alchemy and magic. What is alchemy? We got to go back to the foundations of alchemy, which are rooted in the pagan super gods of Egypt, because the term alchemy comes from chem, K-H-E-M. Which was the fertile black soil of the Nile River. Alchemy is a reference to the mystery of the black arts from Egypt. The black soil from the Nile River in Egypt is akin to the black arts found in the mystery schools of ancient Egypt. To understand why this is, we have to go back to the first age, also called Zeptepi. This is 12,000 years ago in ancient Egypt, where the gods were in communication with mankind. Thoth, a.k.a. Hermes Trismegistus, which means thrice great, instructed those that were worthy on concepts such as alchemy. Hermes was called the thrice great because he was the master of three planes of existence, the mind, the body, and the soul. Thoth had an animal head to symbolize that man can evolve past his animal nature. And how does one do that? It's through alchemy. Thoth's alchemical secrets were encoded on the Pillar of Hermes and Emerald Tablets. The secrets written on these things were about the creation of the universe and the Hermetic axiom, as above, so below, which is a magical reference. These secrets were floating around the secret societies and the Library of Alexandria in Egypt, and some of these teachings were shared inside of these esoteric schools of thought like Kabbalah. Alchemy is also considered a literal science of trying to turn lead into gold. They were seeking what the philosophers at the time called the Philosopher's Stone of Immortality. We're talking about minds from the Enlightenment Age and the Renaissance, people like Francis Bacon, Isaac Newton, Albert Magnus, Nicholas Flamel, etc. These guys were alchemists, and they were considered heretics by the church. So some of them used the term Christ as secret code for the Kabbalistic belief that there's a divine spark in man, because they were trying to avoid persecution from the church. The mentality of these alchemists, like Isaac Newton, were that the public was not ready to hear the secrets, and it would cause far too much damage for the common man and woman to hear the true secrets from Thoth or Hermes, aka the secret black arts of alchemy. And here's where it fits into today's entertainment. We're being given these secrets slowly. We're being indoctrinated, and this is the revelation of the method through our entertainment. And there's going to be more to come on that later. Ultimately, this is about creating a new reality through thoughts while destroying and rebuilding man into a new form through alchemy, aka the transhuman. Now, what is magic? We're not referring to stage magic. In fact, the spelling includes a K to distinguish it from the illusion of stage magic. Aleister Crowley added the K because it's the 11th digit in the alphabet, and this is important to occultists because they believe in numerology, or gematria, or the twilight language, which is why they put all of the symbols into the entertainment. It's a reference to this law of correspondence, as above, so below, which takes us back to that Hermetic axiom, which comes from Hermes Trismegistus back in the Zeptepi days of the ancient Egypt. The number 11 was considered the most sinful number by William Westcott, and Pythagoras defined it as the number of illumination. It means that one can illuminate themselves through the sinful knowledge. Again, a reference to the black arts of alchemy. Kenneth Grant's book called Aleister Crowley and the Hidden God describes it by stating that 10 is a stable number in Kabbalah, as the number of sephirots, or the divine emanations from God. But 11 is considered cursed because it's outside of the stable system of 10 sephirot. So Crowley took this and he ran with it, saying 11 was ultimately the number of magic and of the New Age, which he called the Aeon of Horus. There's a term, "do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law," and that's corresponding with Aleister Crowley's religion of Thelema, which you could see on Jay-Z's sweatshirt. And notice it also has 11 words and 11 syllables, done on purpose, because again, there's an importance to the twilight language for these occultists. Now, the definition of magic by Aleister Crowley, who we'll discuss a little bit more later, is the science and art of causing change to occur in conformity with the will. Now, we have to understand there's different types of magic. We've got high magic versus low magic, And that's similar or analogous to ceremonial slash ritual magic versus personal magic. The high magic, aka the ceremonial or ritual magic, is used as more of a psychodrama. It's used to invoke certain emotions or feelings, and this is what Anton LaVey was using in the Church of Satan that he learned about while working in the circus. We're familiar with high magic because that's kind of similar to what occurs in church liturgies, which utilize a certain amount of ritual every time. It's also what could be considered in entertainment when we see certain magical principles acted out in films like the alchemical processes of transformation of the characters, such as what we see in Under the Skin. Low magic, aka personal magic, is more practical and used by a person to achieve a specific end goal. The differences between high and low magic could be like learning a martial art versus MMA. Martial arts will show you the stances and the rhythms, but MMA is more focused on the end goal of defeating the opponent by any means. Another important element, as it pertains to the alien phenomenon, is the invocation or evocation of entities. The magicians would summon spirits to gather information or attempt control of angels and demons. There's several branches of magic to do this. There's the Enochian magic that uses John Dee and Edward Kelly's angelic language, which Crowley used in his Abramelin ritual to summon Lamb, the first great alien, which Jack Parsons and L. Ron Hubbard would use for their Whore of Babylon ritual. Chaos magic is another form of practical magic which will utilize any sort of archetype. And again, when we look at magic and the rituals, we have to go back to the roots of alchemy and the Book of Enoch to understand more. The Book of Enoch refers to Noah's great-grandfather, Enoch, who went on a journey with God, who explained to him the original story of the Watchers, a group of fallen angels. The Book of Enoch is part of the Apocrypha, meaning it's not actually in the Bible, but is considered intertestamental. This tells the story of the Watchers, fallen angels who come to Earth after taking a curse pact to get themselves some wives. They come to Earth, they teach the people occult magic, they make a little sexy time, and they create these giants called Nephilim. And they taught all of these the forbidden knowledge. Again, this idea of the forbidden knowledge, or the references to the number 11 as the accursed number, which corresponds in astrology, symbolism. The Watchers were teaching them conjuring and charms and all of these forbidden arts. Until God had enough of that nonsense and he hit them with the flood, the great deluge, and got rid of all of them. Now, allegedly, part of this evil bloodline persisted, or at least the knowledge that was given to man of these, talking about the astrology, the symbolism, the conjuring, the charms, part of that persisted, and this is part of the hidden occult wisdom that has been passed down through mystery schools and the esoteric teachings of Kabbalah or Rosicrucianism, Freemasonry, and so on. So fast forward a few thousand years or more, who knows, and Hollywood comes around to use illusion to sell products, ideas, make stars, gods, goddesses, all these things which Crowley said would happen in Liber Oz or Liber 77, when he said, in the new aeon, every man and woman will be a star. Just the name Hollywood alone reveals itself as we learn that magic wands are made from the holly tree. It's the wood from the holly tree used to create magic. It's no wonder Disney is always talking about magic and powers of the mind. Walt Disney was a member of the Order of De Molay, a reference to the last Grand Master of the Knights Templar, an organization that allegedly used conjuring spells and rituals to entities like the floating head of Baphomet. Harry Potter's wand is also officially from the holly tree. And we see a lot of these themes in science fiction. There were these things called pulp magazines, aka the pulps. These were some of the first science fiction tales in a magazine format in the early 1900s. The term pulp refers to the cheap paper it was printed on. The pulps were what influenced Jack Parsons and Wernher von Braun to go to the stars, because the fiction always precedes reality. We have to plant the idea into the subconscious, which is achieved through entertainment or these pulp magazines. The pulps would eventually evolve into comic books, which introduced the world to superheroes and their occult powers. And guess who started this new form of science fiction entertainment? Occult magicians. Yes, there was a magical order called Ordo Templi Orientis, founded by a guy named Carl Kellner. He was a follower of Aleister Crowley, and he started this whole Ordo Templi Orientis, aka the OTO, to conduct ceremonial magic. Curiously enough, he was the guy that manufactured the first pulp papers. Now, the larger argument is that these occultists use magic to cause change in accordance with the will of the practitioner. The best way to do that is through entertainment. Alchemist Francis Bacon said it was easier to indoctrinate someone with entertainment than to directly lecture them. Hence all the allegory and symbolism in all of the entertainment that comes from Hollywood, the magic wand. But what was Carl Kellner into? He believed that the symbolism of Freemasonry would unlock the mysteries of nature through sex magic, of all things. And as we find out when we delve into the world of occult magicians, it's all about a new spirituality or a new religion. And aliens play an instrumental role. They are both the new and the old gods. The pagan religion of the past is the spirituality religion of the future. And let me explain. Professor Diana Pasalka, she's a professor of religious studies, wrote a book called American Cosmic that is all about how she was chosen to hang out with these UFO believers, and the story is about the formation of the new religion, the new religion that is all about the alien phenomenon. There are sacred sites and everything. They showed her the sacred place where government contractors and engineers are actively retrieving pieces of a crashed UFO that they are attempting to reverse engineer. This site even has altars and they say prayers to the aliens. In fact, in 2021, former President Barack Obama said UFO beliefs would indeed birth new religions. Again, they have to plant these seeds into the minds of the masses before they can pull the trigger. If you follow the ufologists that have been studying the phenomenon since its inception, you'll find a consistent theme that there is a mental component to the UFOs. I believe this comes from the esoteric understandings of the world of quantum physics, where concepts like quantum entanglement prove that there is a mental connection between two entities over a distance. Jacques Vallée and Carl Jung both agree on this philosophy that UFOs are a psychic phenomenon. They wrote several books on this idea. Jacques Vallée's The Invisible College claims we're not dealing with people from outer space, but rather a control system being used to create greater impact with society and drive many to become fascinated with space travel, paranormal, and new frontiers in consciousness. Jacques Vallée also wrote in Messengers of Deception, if we are not dealing with space visitors at all, but with powerful imagery projected in order to alter individual belief systems, then the dreamlike, hallucinatory nature of these experiences begin to make more sense. In that same book, he also wrote, we already have human technologies that are both physical and psychic, in the sense of influencing the consciousness of an observer. An example of such a technology is given very simply by your television set, which again supports the theme that entertainment has a way of creating reality through fiction. He goes on saying that it's no doubt a physical box, referring to the television, but when it's activated, it can actually control your consciousness and awareness. You don't know if what you're watching is real or fake. On a more overt level, it also sells you products and influences your behavior. Valet says that UFOs are similar to television sets, physical objects of technology, but more importantly, they are tools of cultural change. Carl Jung's book Flying Saucers from 1959 said there were psychic and religious components to UFOs. Ironically, he said the power of subconscious draws in artistic energies and that can be dangerous. He called the shadow the reservoir for human darkness as the seat of creativity. As with any religion, you need to have some disciples for the prophet. And video proof is being used as a foundation for the new religion. It's a form of witness to the gods, no different than the testimonies of the disciples of Jesus Christ. This is why we've seen mass disclosure of UFOs in the Pentagon approved, released through To the Stars Academy with the Go Fast, FLIR, and Gimbal videos. All right, everybody. You know the deal. Once a month, we do shoutouts. And this is the last one ever. Probably ever. I don't know that it's coming back. If you listened to my show where we talked about the way forward for 2022, where I told you all about how you're going to get into the VIP section for only $2. That's two full months at $2 a month. Man, what am I thinking? With that promo code, No More Losers, and you just had to go to IlluminatiWatcher.com, and you're in it. Anyway, we talked about how I did a survey, and, well, we're swapping out. No more shout-outs, no more monthly live streams. You're going to get the video version of the show where I just talk to you through the camcorder, because that's what you want and that's what you're going to get. Now, that being said, you are in the VIP section or on Patreon and you're tier two or higher for the month of December. I owe you a shout out. And this could very well be the last shout out. The end of an era. Let's start with the VIP section. This is, we're going to go to, like I said, I don't do last names out of anonymity. Unless you tell me otherwise. Papa Dom, Matthew K, Alan R, Kristen Hunter R, Timothy S, Crystal M, Marisa A, Joe F, J-Po, Jennifer B, Justin H, Damian S, Elaine M, Thought Criminal, and BAP 78. In the tier 3, Alkaline OG Granola Wokesters, we got Cheryl and Jason S, and Cheryl S. Then in the tier 4, Woke Levels on Fleek, which I owe you a, I'm going to do a little dedication shout out, but not right now. John G, Jason F, shout out. Now, let's move over to Patreon, where we got a whole gang of people. Theories of Atlantis, Mary L, Paul W, Lieutenant Jerkoff still holding it down. Your Dad. That's how they showed up. It went from Lieutenant Jerkoff to Your Dad. I had nothing to do with that. Holly A, Oh Yup Dot. These names crack me up sometimes, you know? Jennifer B, Genevieve, J. St. Murder, Beck B, Marisa A, Aubrey T, Vari, Amy M, Kirby G, Liz H, Marjorie G, Premier 65, Christy W, Vermont Hip Hop Collective, Joe Sauce, Charles, Danicus, Zach R, Russell D, Marsha W, Jacob R, Sam I Am, Phil Goodrich Art Surfing. He's out there surfing, painting. Betty, Mariah, Frankie L, Roxy, Ashton, Allie W, Renee G, Joe Nips, Brandon L, M. Gibb, Darcy D, Ailmac, Prophet 7, Robert Z, William B, Big Fezzy, JT, Katie G, whew, Dave W, Ellis R, Izzy 66, Sarah B, Jennifer, Jade, Taylor BC, Kara, John P,
These are tier. Yeah, these are the tier four folks here. I owe you guys a dedication. We got John P, Joshua V, Cheryl S, and Barry W. Thank you, everyone, for being, for all you all have woke levels on fleek in my mind. Thank you for supporting the show. Those were the shout outs. Possibly the last ones ever. We'll see. You know, stranger things have happened, right? But thank you for your support. All levels of support are, you know, I'm very appreciative of tier one folks. Even the free feed folks, appreciate you listening. If you want to support the show, you know where to go. Links in the show notes as always.
To the Stars Academy, of course, run by Tom DeLonge, the Freemasonic singer from Blink-182, and folks like Luis Elizondo and even John Podesta, who is infamous for his connections to the email conspiracy called Pizzagate. Tom DeLonge and Peter LaVenda are laying the whole thing out in their sequence of alien books. Peter LaVenda is a writer of the occult and allegedly a member of the Ordo Templi Orientis. To the Stars Academy is named after Jack Parsons and his engineering company Ad Astra Research, which is a Latin term for to the stars. Now, why do they want to make contact with these aliens? It's because it's an occult fantasy and the key to the new spirituality of worshiping aliens, which I posit could very well be demonic. Aleister Crowley said in Magic Without Tears that extraterrestrials are the only chance for mankind to advance as a whole. So you can see why they would want to make contact. They think there's a higher purpose for this. Now let's discuss some of these forefathers of the alien movement. Aleister Crowley, for example. Here was an occultist born into great wealth, and he thought he was God, literally. He investigated occult spirituality all over the globe and tried to synthesize a fundamental understanding, kind of like Pythagoras did when he was traveling around the Middle East. Crowley read Eckhart Hausen's The Cloud Upon the Sanctuary and believed that there was a society of the elect, or an invisible interior church, kind of like Diana Pasalka's UFO group or Jacques Vallée's talk about the invisible college. Either way, Crowley was definitely also into Satan. He got into magic because he wanted to set up personal communications with the devil. His words, not mine. In his book Confessions, he said he wanted to become Satan's chief of staff. He also wrote about pecking out the eyes of Christ and advocated for the Aeon of Horus, where man could be more ruthless and become more selfish and pursue their own true will. He wrote a poem called Hymn to Satan, professing his adoration of the devil, and he also wrote The Gospel According to St. Bernard Shaw that was entirely about how Christianity was a lie and Christ was awful because he was a socialist. He also evoked the four great princes of evil at Bolskine during the six-month Abramelin ritual. This is the same house on Loch Ness in Scotland that Jimmy Page from Led Zeppelin bought. Jack Parsons. This was a guy that was a follower of Aleister Crowley, but he's more famously known as the eccentric rocket scientist who started Jet Propulsion Laboratory, which was the predecessor to NASA. He would do rituals before shooting rockets, including prayers to alien intelligences and launching on Samhain, aka Halloween. Also, Diana Pasalka confirmed in her book that the contact anonymously referred to as Tyler also had a protocol for making contact with entities. Most interestingly, Jack Parsons used Crowley's Abramelin ritual in 1946 to evoke the Whore of Babylon to bring about the end of the world and destroy Christianity. He did this in the desert with L. Ron Hubbard, the founder of Scientology. And sure enough, he met a woman named Marjorie Cameron after the ritual. Crowley thought he was an idiot, and he was concerned that Parsons and L. Ron Hubbard wouldn't close the portals. 1 year later, in 1947, we get the crash at Roswell. Now, who thinks it's weird that the crash actually happened in Corona, New Mexico, which means crown. It's a reference to the crowned prince, Lucifer. The whole Roswell incident could very well have been a result of these magic rituals gone bad. Enter the Collins elite. They come onto the scene in 1947 after the Roswell crash. There were Air Force programs to study UFOs called Project Sign, Project Grudge, and Project Blue Book. And we know about the Collins elite from a guy named Ray Boucher, who Diana Pasalka knows, and she confirmed when I interviewed her for my podcast that she believes him to be a very truthful person. But she stopped short of confirming any of the details about what he knows. Boucher claims that the Collins elite were a group in the Pentagon that studied occultists opening up portals and making alien contact, like Jack Parsons did. They also fought against the Pentagon's effort to make contact with these entities for themselves, surely in the name of national defense and technology advancement, because we know of the programs like Project Stargate and films about the subject like The Men Who Stare at Goats. Well, if you fast forward to the 2010s, Luis Elizondo, the program manager of ATIP, who is also part of To the Stars Academy's video disclosure releases, he confirmed in interviews that there was a group of religious people in the Pentagon that were slowly losing their influence. I believe this to be a reference to the Collins elite. We can also look to Nick Pope, former Ministry of Defense in the UK, who said, and I quote, "I was aware that Pentagon pushback on UFO research was in part due to the religious belief of some of those involved. It was an odd irony, that UFO investigations were being hampered because some people's belief in God meant that they either didn't believe in the existence of extraterrestrial life or that they regarded UFOs and extraterrestrials as demonic. The fact that some people regard UFOs as demonic seems to have its roots in the biblical description of Satan as being the prince of the power of the air from Ephesians 2:2. Luis Elizondo says that he came up against religious pushback from senior staff when he ran the Pentagon's UFO program, and I saw some evidence of this at the MOD2. So the resistance, the religious pushback from senior staff at the Pentagon, must have been the Collins elite. Luis Elizondo also said in interviews that one problem with making contact is the idea of demonic possession and how there's no plans to cover these as service-connected disabilities for such a thing. Now, how does all this fit into the world of superheroes? Well, we look to occultist Helena Blavatsky and her discussion about the Ascended Masters. Just like Aleister Crowley said, the path to evolution was through alien contact. Helena Blavatsky said the true knowledge of the universe was hidden from the world and couldn't be found in religion or science in its current form. The true knowledge was shared amongst older civilizations and the hidden masters, who she was referring to the Mahatmas of part of the Great White Brotherhood in Tibet. Now, the secret truth was within her religion, or her philosophical belief system called Theosophy, and she said it was going to be slowly revealed to the masses. We also look to this term called the Siddhis. This is a term used in Hinduism or Buddhism for supernatural abilities and magical powers that one can unlock after focusing their mind for long enough through incantations, drugs, meditation, or yoga. These special powers are unlocked after making contact with the divine, aka the gods, aka the aliens. The classical Siddhis included levitation, becoming larger or smaller, teleportation, walking through walls, controlling nature, and even other people. We know about the Siddhis from ancient texts, like the Path of Purification, written in the 5th century, or Autobiography of a Yogi about Yogananda's allegedly unlocked Siddhis. Now, this is all very curious because obviously superheroes have unlocked their CDs, sometimes through ritualistic means. Let's take a look at Deadpool. Here's a guy that was genetically modified through a Weapon X program, a flavor of transhumanism, just like in the X-Men series. A guy named Wade Wilson is led underground in the film, much like was done in the ancient mystery schools of Egypt, Greece, and Rome. And it symbolized the death of the old person and the death of the old way of living. The initiate would be quote-unquote resurrected or born again or baptized into the new religion after 3 days, an homage to the pagan sun god or death and resurrection cults. In Superman, we saw the film Superman Man of Steel, in which he came from the black hole by Saturn, an homage to the alchemical process of an initiate as they progress through the Saturn to the Sun, from the Black Crow to the Phoenix. In Batman vs. Superman, we hear a message that devils don't come from the hell beneath us, they come from the sky. Very telling. If you look at the Avengers, recall back in 2018, the actors from the movie all got a tattoo of an A with a 6. It's possible that they are showing us the pursuit of the perfected man through transhumanism, which is symbolized by the number 666. The number 666 represents man who is not perfected into God, which would be represented symbolically as 777. But man can become God through transhumanism, as these occultists believe. Others claim that 666 is representative of carbon 12, which has 6 protons, 6 neutrons, and 6 electrons. When man can surpass his carbon and transcend into the digital matrix, we will finally achieve this godlike status. The Avengers films show us alchemical symbols, which are the process they'll attempt to evolve man. Symbols such as the Saturnian cube, or the serpent eating its tail, the Ouroboros. It's a mockery of God because God created man on the sixth day, which we also saw in the Arnold Schwarzenegger film, The Sixth Day, about human cloning and genetically modifying man into the transhuman. Now, why is the transhuman theme prevalent in all of these ideas? Because it all ties together here. This is the pursuit of the superpowers or the CDs, and it's always been with us. Helena Blavatsky started her theosophical mysticism movement that claimed we could all reach these superhero statuses after ascending into this higher plane of consciousness. This is the same idea of unlocking the CDs by making contact with the gods. This is the same as what Aleister Crowley said, that for man to evolve, he has to make contact with the aliens. Now, Blavatsky, she influenced Adolf Hitler, who also pursued this idea of the Aryan Superman, the master race. The entire Third Reich used occultism and border sciences and pagan religions for their military intelligence and propaganda. They used occult witchcraft, secret forces, divination, etc. This goes back to the idea of the Great White Brotherhood of Blavatsky, the idea that there were these root races with different powers in Atlantis until the Flood or the Ice Age. And this all goes back to the Book of Enoch, right? Which we talked about earlier. These fallen angels came to Earth and taught man these forbidden dark arts. Now, the border science idea is that there were scientific practices by people that are occultists or New Agers, and that mainstream science doesn't accept these ideas, kind of like the noetic sciences. Hence the term. It's on the borders of what is accepted. We're talking about ESP, talking to the dead, clairvoyance, interdisciplinaries that cross borders between one concept to another. These all use practices to supposedly find the truth, which leads into pseudoscience. Now, transhumanism is the plan. It's through this future religion and the technocracy of science. When they say trust the science, they're possibly laying a foundation for you to put your trust into the new technocracy. The more mankind can outfit his or her body with technology, the closer the goals of the superhuman cities and how they can be realized. The big picture will be to get man into digital consciousness, an actual matrix where we'll live forever, becoming the immortal gods we always wanted. This will happen by the year 2045 as we approach the singularity, where man will be replaced by artificial intelligence, giving way to a full revolution. In the cycles of technology, we always see the dying technology find its maximum innovation as it takes its dying gasps, always seeing its replacement coming down fast. Man will reach maximum innovation with technology as the transhuman before full replacement and destruction of the life form that God created in his image, satisfying the Luciferian agenda that truly hate God and his creation. Now, I know that was a lot, but I've written 9 books, all available on Amazon or Audible, where I narrated them, or you can get signed copies at gumroad.com/IsaacW. You can get my most recent books diving into the alien phenomenon called Aliens, UFOs, and the Occult, User Illusion 1 and 2. My most popular book explaining the outline of the entire plan is called The Dark Path, and you can get that again on Amazon, Audible, or gumroad.com/IsaacW. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions, I can take them now. And this is where the show ends, and everyone claps and they stand up and they go, "Wow, Isaac, you're so smart. You really figured it out, buddy." And then everyone buys all the books and they're taking photos, and wow, it was a great time. That's how it went in my head, at least. In my head, it was people from all over the country traveled in to see me from the podcast. Oh man, that's really cool. Too good to be true, right? But yeah, that was the big plan, and that was the presentation. And actually, that after like kind of presenting that and discussing it, I feel like that did go deeper than I thought it would. I thought maybe it would be kind of too basic for my audience, for you guys listening. But now that I'm looking at it, I'm like, oh, that's pretty good actually. That kind of went kind of deep in spots, and you know, I feel like some of that would have went over the heads of the masses. I actually had more on Hitler and the Nazis. I was going to go into a little bit of the Thor and Loki pagan worship stuff with the Tesseract, Rudolf Sabotendorf's Thule Society, and how it ties to Hellboy. But I felt like it was kind of getting too down in the weeds a little bit. Anyway, yeah, that was the whole show. I hope you enjoyed that. Maybe you got something great out of it. I hope you did. And on that note, if you do want to buy books, I did in fact drop a couple racks on books because I planned on selling a lot, and now I've got boxes and boxes of books. So if you want to buy a signed copy and help your boy out, gumroad.com/IsaacW, where I will have shirts on there. I got coffee mugs, and of course every single book you can get. I've got bundles where you can buy every single book that I wrote. That's an option too for the big spenders, for the big ballers. But either way, thank you for your time. Thank you for listening. And until next time, stay woke.